Our theme for these 3 days, I'll be doing this seminar on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Our theme is Lord Chaitanya in Puri, Jagannath Puri, and the supreme lessons that he, as the supreme personality of Godhead, in the role of a devotee, a bhakta, those supreme lessons that he displayed. Of course, you should always bear in mind Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's constant counsel in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that you can't get to the end of all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You can't even get to the end of one day's pastimes. Similarly, the depth of those pastimes, impossible to get to the bottom of the ocean of death in terms of why the Leela is happening. What are the deepest meanings of the Leela? Kaviraj Goswami says he's just going to give you one drop. That's all that's possible out of the deep ocean of Lord Chaitanya. Now, we're going to be discussing a difficult topic. Love of Krishna in separation. Why is that a difficult topic? It actually is the most inconceivable and the most elevated part of our philosophy. Yet, it is there in our books, and we can hear about it so that we can aspire for it. But while hearing about it, we should always understand what our position is. We are lowly beggars, just trying to get a drop of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But there's nothing insignificant about that drop. Kaviraj Goswami points out, just one drop of that ocean of Lord Chaitanya's mercy can drown the whole three worlds. So bear in mind these measurements. Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like an ocean, and his pastimes of separation are like an ocean. You get just one drop of that ocean, but that one drop is enough to inundate the whole universe so that everyone drowns in ecstatic love of Krishna. We're going to today speak from a chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a difficult leela to understand in terms of all the aspects and all the currents going on. We're going to look at chapter 9 of the Ancha Leela, the deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka. I have been reading this leela for over 3 decades, and each time I see so many things I didn't see before, I get realizations I didn't have before. So we're going to try to present to you impetus and motivation to dive deeply into Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita so that your soul will be satisfied. That is the purpose of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, to satisfy your deepest hankerings, to satisfy the longing in your heart for Krishna that is underneath all your other longings. Everyone knows what it's like to have longings, hankerings. The hankerings of the body and mind are there because of the hankering of the soul. But the material hankerings of the body and mind are an artificial expression of the energy of the soul. Therefore, the solution is not to annihilate all hankerings and all desires. The solution is to purify your hankerings and desires so that, once again, the pure expression of the spirit soul is everything in your life. And what is that pure expression of the soul? Devotional service to Krishna. We're going to be repeating certain themes throughout our discussion. You see, in bhakti, remembering the Lord, searching for the Lord, is the same as seeing the Lord face to face. This is not a reality that can be materially understood. Indeed, it's very difficult to materially explain it. How is it that by remembering someone, even searching for someone, that's the same as seeing that person face to face? In the material world, obviously, this is not true. You will not get the satisfaction of seeing someone face to face just by your searching for that person. But in Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, it is true. Because the Lord is absolute. You've heard that expression so many times, but try to understand what it means. That the Lord is absolute means you get the same benefit from meeting Him or remembering Him or searching after Him. If you can start to think about this point, then you'll understand love of Krishna in separation. You'll begin to understand it. Because the whole goal of what Lord Chaitanya has given us is not actually to meet Krishna. It's to feel separation from Krishna. This is the reverse of the way material existence works. In material existence, you want to connect with something and you're not satisfied until that something is right there with you. That something or someone. This passionate hankering, Rajagun, I've got to have it. Whatever it is, whoever it is. And then you hope that by connecting with that thing or person, there'll be relief, there'll be satisfaction, you'll feel wholesome, you'll feel fulfilled. Now, naturally, you carry over those expectations into spiritual life. But the height or the pinnacle of bhakti is love of Krishna and separation, in which you feel Krishna's presence more separate from Him than when you do meeting Him. Now, how does this make sense materially? But my question to you will be, what makes sense materially? Have any of you found material existence to make sense? The reason why so many of you have taken to Krishna consciousness is that you couldn't make sense out of material life. Just like for those of you who were in Bhagavatam class yesterday, I told the story of my material father. How do you figure out what is good luck, what is bad luck, what is gain, what is loss? And ultimately, material life always ends in loss. Therefore, Krishna, the Acharyas, just dismiss it all. It is useless. But the conditioned soul clings to some hope of value. There's something there. It's not all bad. It's not all unsatisfying. There is something there. But in this way, material existence goes on. Because in our conditioned mentality, we cling to a glimmer of hope. Just like now, it is not yet warm weather. But finally, after 5 days, the sun has come out. So you're clinging to a glimmer of hope. I was going to warm up a bit. Those of you who have just arrived here, you may not have known that abnormally it has been cold here and raining for 5 straight days. So, now when the sun comes out, you get hopeful. Oh, I think it's going to be better weather now. So that is the nature of material existence. A little bit of tiny happiness and you become hopeful. I think things are going to get better now. When you look at Chaitanya Leela, you see Lord Chaitanya's hope to meet Krishna. But that's a different kind of hope. His hope to meet Krishna is so intense that Krishna is there. What can you compare this to in material existence? In material existence, when the lover is longing for the beloved, the presence of the beloved is not there. But in bhakti, Krishna is there for the devotee, more so in separation than in meeting. Therefore, as often I explain, those of you who are serious about the path of bhakti, you have embarked upon a mission that will never be fulfilled. Now I know some of you are career persons, some of you are going to university, some of you are working jobs, or some of you hope to be professionals, others of you are brahmacharis and you hope to be a lifelong brahmachari. Some of you are married and you hope the marriage will work and it will last as it should for most of your life. So you have hopes that your goals will be fulfilled. But what is it about bhakti that your mission is always unfulfilled? That is the inheritance given to you by the Shad Gosai, six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They have bequeathed to you, they have bestowed upon you a mission that will never be fulfilled. They have never said, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, Bhakta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal, Bhakta Das Raghunath. They have never said, now we've got Krishna. They're always saying, where is Krishna? Hey Rat, hey Braja Devike, Chalalite, hey Nanda Sunoguta. Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, where are you? Lalita, Vishaka, where is the son of Maharaj Nanda? Is he on Govardhan Hill? Is he by the river Jamuna? Where is he? This is the mood of feeling separation from Krishna that these six Goswamis of Vrindavan have left us as our inheritance. And therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas, following in the line of Lord Chaitanya, always try to instill in their followers the mood of separation from Krishna. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, don't try to see Krishna. Simply act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. It's very different from what we ordinarily would think God consciousness should be. God consciousness, religion, yoga should be, I want God, I get God. Just like I want a new consumer item, I get it. I want a beloved, I get him or her. Whatever I want, I get. I got frustrated in material life trying to get those kind of things. Now I want to get God. Actually, of course, that is commendable. But Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is so deep that it goes even beyond that. It goes beyond even getting God, obtaining God. And it brings you to the point in which you're saying, I can't meet Krishna. Where is he? And that feeling of separation is more intense in terms of connecting to Krishna than meeting Krishna. Very mysterious. So, we are followers of Lord Chaitanya. More and more, if you stick to the path of bhakti, you'll find out that the chanting of Hare Krishna enriches your feelings of separation from Krishna. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you long to see Krishna, and that longing to see Krishna, that searching for Krishna, is as good as being with Krishna. In fact, what does Srila Prabhupada explain in the third canto? He says that the eagerness in searching for Krishna is more pleasurable than meeting Krishna. Now try to understand that. The eagerness in searching for someone is more pleasurable than being with that person? There's no real equivalent of this immaterial existence. In material existence, you have to get what you want in order to try to enjoy it. It has to be there in your grip. But in bhakti, on the highest levels of bhakti, the search for Krishna is more pleasurable than meeting Krishna. Gradually, the more you hear about this from Srila Prabhupada's books, over the years it will start to click. It's the most deep subject matter. But Srila Prabhupada explained it very simply to George Harrison before he wrote his song, My Sweet Lord. Very simple song everyone remembers. I really want to meet you. I really want to be with you. It's been so long. Before he wrote that song, Srila Prabhupada explained to him in a nutshell, what is love of Krishna and separation? He said, the sun is shining and you feel the presence of the sun. You feel the heat, you see the light. When the sun suddenly goes behind the cloud, what do you feel? Just like for 5 days in a row, it was raining here, cloudy. What did we feel? It's not that you simply felt cold. It's not that you simply felt rain. You felt separation from the sun. Think about it. You have to think deeply about this. You felt the sun is gone. The manifestations of those feelings of separation are wetness and cold. But actually what you're feeling is separation from the sun. And then, when suddenly the sun comes out again, you're feeling connection to the sun. You're in the presence of the sun again, by way of heat and light. So, Srila Prabhupada taught this to George Harrison, the most elevated subject in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Lord Chaitanya's most elevated gift, Srila Prabhupada taught him in such a profoundly simple way. And then George Harrison went and made the song, My Sweet Lord, I really want to meet you. I really want to be with you. It's been so long. It is said that the symptom of the greatest teacher is that he can take the most complex, profound subject matter and present it very simply. Sometimes devotees say, oh, Srila Prabhupada's books, they're written very simply. Yes, it's true. English was not his first language. So the language is simple. In fact, so many devotees have learned English just by reading Prabhupada's books in English, because he uses a limited stock of words. So although the stock of words is limited, the concepts are so profound. I notice sometimes devotees become fooled, thinking, oh, Prabhupada's books are simple. But if you try to grasp the concepts, one lifetime is not enough. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada said that himself. One life is not enough to get to the depths of what is in his books. The concepts, although presented in simple language, the concepts are just so deep, so profound. So please remember that. Now, let's go to Jagannath Puri. There in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya is going to demonstrate the transcendental madness of feeling separation from Krishna. Sometimes I've heard younger devotees say that they feel uncomfortable about these later chapters in Ansha Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic transformations, his divyon mada, his extreme madness in feeling separation from Krishna. Sometimes readers feel uncomfortable, like, how do you, that seems so strange, even grotesque, to hear about Lord Chaitanya rubbing his face against the wall of his room, and bleeding. jumping into the ocean and being caught in a fisherman's net, the elongated body. Sometimes when you say, I can't relate to it. As you engage in devotional service more, you'll find out. You'll realize you're dealing with a love so pure and so powerful that it produces these ecstatic transformations. Once we lose our false pride that we know what love is, then you can understand. Then you can begin to understand what Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating. But our false pride dictates to us that we know what love is. And therefore, when we hear about Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic transformations, it seems quite strange to us. Okay, let's examine why Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies in separation from Krishna may seem a bit strange. First, let me ask you a question. Honestly, how many of you, when you first read, if you have read at all, of Anchalila about Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic transformations, how many of you felt a little uncomfortable or it seemed a bit... Yes, raise your hands, please. Yes. I'm sure there are others who were too shy to raise their hands. But you see, we have in our conditioned memory, we don't have anything to remind us. We don't have any... To our conditioned memory, these experiences of pure love seem strange because we don't know what love is. We equate love with passion of the body and mind. Yet, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see a love for Krishna so extraordinary and inconceivable that it produces such bodily transformations. In other words, you have to understand you're dealing with the power of praying, real love. But there's something in the back of our contaminated mind that says, well, I know what love is. I mean, yeah, sometimes it puts you in a bit of anxiety. Sometimes you have some longings. But what is this that you read in Anchalila? The more we understand that our hearts are devoid of true love, and in a humble, submissive mentality, we approach Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, then we can begin to have our eyes open to the realities of praying pure love of Krishna. A love so intense that it seems like madness. So in this way, I hope that so many of you will be inspired to turn to Chaitanya Charitamrita in a very submissive devotional way so you can take advantage of this most exquisite gem given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Now, let's turn to chapter 9 of Anchalila, the deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka. This pastime has taken place in Jagannath Puri, and it involves a favorite family of Lord Chaitanya's, Bhavananda Roy and his sons, his five sons. And it also involves Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa. You're going to see an abnormal situation in that it's apparently a material affair. Yet you're going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indifferent to the material affairs, but at the same time, just like someone does not touch a flower, but just smells it. You'll see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's doings are there indirectly, but just the indirect doings of Lord Chaitanya produce extraordinary effects. Alright. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Govindavrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Govindavrinda. Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Govinda Vrinda.
Jai
Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Chandra Jai Govinda Vrinda. Kaviraj Goswami, as always, begins every chapter with an introductory verse to set the scene. He says, the innumerable glorious followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought a constant flood to the desert-like hearts of the unfortunate with an inundation of ecstatic love. See, this is the specialty of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, ecstatic love. Now, how many of you before taking up bhakti yoga ever thought about something called ecstatic love? Sounds like something quite exotic, doesn't it? I'm sure none of you in your ordinary existence ever said to someone, you know, I'm feeling ecstatic love for you. The person would look at you like, you got a little insane or something. I mean, people use the word love, mothers to their children, you know, romantic partners, husband and wife, whatever. They may use the word love, but ecstatic love? But that is the specialty of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, ecstatic love to the point of madness. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is setting the scene here, telling you there has been a great flood, and that flood has inundated the desert-like hearts of the unfortunate. And what has inundated the desert-like hearts? Krishna praying, ecstatic love of Krishna. And then, as he begins every chapter also, he offers his obeisances to the Panchatattva. It's very significant that we are speaking here in the temple of the Panchatattva. Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Dayamoy. He's the most merciful. He glorifies Nityananda as Karuna Hridhoy. His heart is very compassionate. He glorifies Advaita Acharya as very merciful, and he offers obeisances to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Why? He says they're always overwhelmed by transcendental bliss. Now you may say, well, where's our feelings of always being overwhelmed by transcendental bliss? It's just separated from you by time. If you continue faithfully on the path of bhakti, this, what Kaviraj Goswami speaks about, it'll be yours. The example the acharyas give is the difference between an unripe mango and a ripe mango. A mango is a mango, whether ripe or unripe. If you leave the mango in the sun, it will become ripe. So therefore, it's just a question of time that separates the ripe mango from the unripe mango. Similarly, it is just a question of time that is separating you from being overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss that characterizes this specific line coming from Lord Chaitanya. How long can you wait for it? Is 10 years too much? 20? 30? One lifetime too much? You must understand what is real value and then take the steps to secure that real value. So what if it takes even so many lifetimes? That's what the greatest devotees feel. Never mind if it takes billions of lives. Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, they are my only goal. That feeling is how a real devotee feels. A real devotee doesn't impose a time schedule upon Krishna. All right, I've been practicing bhakti for 3 years. Where's the innovation? Where's the flood? I've been practicing bhakti for 10 years. When am I going to feel overwhelmed by transcendental bliss? You don't hold a gun to Krishna's head like that. You don't pull out a railroad timetable. 5 years, 3 months, 2 days performing sadhana. Where's the ecstasy? What kind of love is that? You see so many relationships break in the material existence by persons who hold a timetable to the other. Maybe you've done it yourselves. We have been together for 2 years and I just didn't get what I expected from you. We have been together for 10 years and I just noticed that my dreams of getting ecstasy in relation to you, they've never been realized. But you can't do that to Krishna. It's not that Krishna will avoid giving you happiness. No. The point is that this attitude of holding a timetable to Krishna destroys the happiness. You can't see it. It's there, but you can't see it because you're holding that timetable out. You see, bhakti is all about attitude. If you have this attitude of imposing a timetable on Krishna, you won't be able to see the inundation of pure love that's all around. You just have to just drop the timetable and just say, Krishna, I am your servant unconditionally. Then the pure love can flow. So by hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, your hearts will be opened to the nature of pure love. That's why Kaviraj Goswami says, just read Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again, and for sure the nature of ecstatic love of Krishna will become revealed to you. Don't hold the timetable. Just read it again and again. Hear it again and again in the association of devotees. That is our proactive program. Materially, you have a time limit on everything. I'm studying at university for X amount of years, then I will get my degree, and then I'm working at such and such corporation, in X amount of years I want to rise the corporate ladder, or in relationships, you expect this family has been together 4 or 5 years, therefore this should be happening and that should be happening. If you're a brahmachari, I've been a brahmachari for 5 or 10 years. Maybe I should have a position, more recognition. We always have these expectations we impose. And those expectations get in the way of our feeling the presence of Krishna. It shows, these expectations show a lack of trust. We're focused on getting, and we're not focused on giving. But real bhakti means you're so absorbed in giving to Krishna that that becomes your all in all. All right. Kaviraj Goswami is now going to give us a glimpse into Jagannath Puri. So there Lord Chaitanya lived, always engaged in ecstatic love for Krishna. And what was the nature of his always feeling that ecstatic love? He felt the Krishna Varaha Taranga. He felt the waves of separation. You have seen the ocean, or even at the Ganga, you see the waves, one after another. You can't count them. They keep coming. Similarly, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole stay in this world, especially as externally demonstrated in Jagannath Puri, was one wave after another of separation from Krishna. He felt these waves externally and internally. His mind and body were agitated by various spiritual transformations. Let us think about that. Externally and internally, inside and out, he's feeling these waves of separation. How would his day go? During the day, he would chant and dance at the Jagannath Mandir. At night, he would taste transcendental bliss in the company of Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar was an expert singer who would sing just the right song to match Lord Caitanya's feelings of separation. Ramananda Roy was an expert sloka reciter. He could quote verses that would match Lord Caitanya's mood. In this way, Lord Caitanya demonstrated the perfection of separation with Krishna. When the inhabitants of Navadvipa, Mayapur, they would come every year to Jagannath Puri to visit, and mostly they would stay for 4 months of the rainy season. At that time, Lord Caitanya would subdue his ecstatic symptoms. But as soon as they left back to Navadvipa, then it all broke out again. One thing we should understand about Chaitanya Leela is that it is an interplanetary affair. Sometimes devotees say, well, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they just happened in basically South India and in Jagannath Puri, a little bit to Vrindavan, and of course as a child in Navadvipa. How is it that you can say the whole universe is flooded? Have any of you wondered about that? How can you say the whole universe is flooded? Is it just because Krishna is the Supreme Lord and because he's the Lord of everything and everything is his energy, therefore the universe is flooded? You could say that, but specifically it is a fact that persons from different planets, different varshas, would come visit Lord Chaitanya. They did that in South India. Even Shiva and Durga came. And they did it in Jagannath Puri. So, Lord Caitanya's Sankirtan movement is an interplanetary affair. The residents of different planets would come disguised as human beings to associate with Lord Caitanya. Not only unknown or unnamed persons, but even great Vaishnava celebrities would come visit Lord Caitanya in Jagannath Puri, disguised as human beings. Here's the list, the guest list. Puridam, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Vyasadev, Shukadev Goswami. They all came to visit Lord Caitanya in Puri. And what happened after seeing him? Who knows? What happened after they saw Lord Caitanya? Shukadev Goswami, Vyasadev, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, yes? They became unconscious and ecstatic love. Now you think about that. Are these just exaggerating terms in Chaitanya Charitamrita? First of all, what is ecstatic love? Secondly, how do you become unconscious in ecstatic love? I have noticed that devotees, they read these descriptions and their minds pass over them. They don't really try to get to the depths of what's going on here. You should meditate deeply on these words, unconscious in ecstatic love. The more you meditate on these words, the more you'll understand the difference between conditioned life and spiritual life. This is not just poetry. Oh, the madness of ecstatic love, unconscious in ecstatic love, drowning in ecstatic love, the treasure house of ecstatic love, the prema dana. This is not just flowery language. This is reality. Now, at Puri, outside of Lord Caitanya's house, whenever the people couldn't see him, they would gather outside and make a tumultuous sound. And then Lord Caitanya would come out to see them and instruct, chant Hare Krishna. And even the so-called ordinary people, we're not speaking about the interplanetary visitors now, we're speaking about the ordinary people. Just by seeing Lord Caitanya, they would become overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. In this way, day after day, night after night, passed in Jagannath Puri. Okay, this is the general scene in Jagannath Puri. Then what happens? Suddenly, one day, people come running to see Lord Chaitanya, and they tell him, Gopinath Patanayaka, the son of Bhavananda Roy, has been condemned to death by the eldest son of the king. Now, just think, if some devotee who's very dear to you is put in that situation, and you get news of it, wouldn't you immediately go and tell the most affected persons you could? Such and such Prabhu has been condemned to death by the government. Everyone would be buzzing about it. You'd run to your leaders, you would run to whatever government people you knew trying to do something. So, this Gopinath Patanayaka, he's a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He's the son of Bhavananda Roy. So, everyone came running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's natural. They describe the eldest son of the king has put him on the changa. Very nice way to die. You know what the changa is. It is a platform, a raised platform, and underneath are swords sticking upwards. So they push you off the platform, onto the upraised swords you go. So this was the situation of Gopinath Patanayaka. The people inform Lord Chaitanya, only if you save him will he be protected. Why are we coming to you? Because Bhavananda Roy and his entire family are your servants. Therefore, because they are your servants, it is very proper that you save Gopinath Patanayaka. It all makes sense, yes? In distress, you should turn to the Lord. But in Puri, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating pastimes of pure bhakti, beyond even appealing to the Lord for distress, out of distress, Artojagasa, Atarki, Yanis, Vatatarshiva, Yanicha, Vatatarshiva. Four kinds of persons approach Krishna, the inquisitive, the seekers of wealth, those fleeing from distress, and those who want knowledge. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are pure love, just love for love's sake, service for service's sake. So therefore, we would all consider it quite normal that the people are running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your dear devotee from a family that's completely dear to you has been sentenced to death. It's quite proper, it's quite fitting that you save him. It seems all natural. But what is Lord Chaitanya's reply? Well, why has this happened? Why is the government chastising him in this way? And the people explain that Gopinath Patanayaka was collecting tax money on behalf of the government, but he didn't turn over to the government all the money that he should. There's a big debt. So immediately the king demanded pay all the money, the outstanding balance. And Gopinath Patanayaka said, I don't have any more money. I can give you all the cash I have, but give me some time, I'll sell some of my possessions, and this way I'll pay my debt. And let me tell you, I have 10 to 12 very nice horses. You take them for the right price. So he brought all the horses to the door of the king. And the king's eldest son was a horse expert. He knew how to judge the value, the price for horses. So the king asked him to come. Bring your ministers, evaluate the situation. But this son of the king purposely gave a very reduced price for the value of the horses. So when Gopinath Patanayaka heard this price that was way too low, he became angry. Now, a bit of dramatic humor in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The prince who gave the artificial low price had a habit of whenever speaking, he would turn his head to the sky and look this way. Be talking. So, Gopinath Patanayaka had a brilliant idea. You know, Vaishnavas are jolly, you know? They have humor. So, Gopinath Patanayaka said, in so many words, "Why are you quoting such a low price for my horses? My horses never turn their heads up in the air and look this way." You know, it's Vaishnava life, you know. When the prince heard this, he became very angry. He didn't take it all as humor. He took it as a real slice. So what did he do? Palace politics. This story, this Leela, shows you the interplay of palace politics and love of pure love of Krishna. It shows you material affluence, and it shows you Lord Chaitanya's extraordinary mercy. All these things are going to interact very mysteriously in this pastime. So, the palace politics took a sudden bad turn. The prince went to his father, the king, and said, "He, Gopinath Patanayaka, won't pay at all. He doesn't want to pay anything. He refuses to pay." In other words, he lied. He made a false case. So, he just begged his father, the king, "Just say the word. I'll get the money out of him somehow or other. I'll put him on the changa, and that way the money will come." So the father, the king, just said, "Well, you can adopt whatever means you like to obtain the money. It's okay. It's okay." So immediately the prince, he went and he put Gopinath Patanayaka on the changa with the sword spread below. So Lord Chaitanya heard this explanation. And what was Lord Chaitanya's mood when he heard that? The Bengali says, pranaya rosha. He showed anger in affection. It's another thing to meditate on. Anger and affection was the mood of the Lord. He said with affectionate anger, "Gopinath Patanayaka, he doesn't want to pay the king the money that's due. So why then is the king at fault in punishing him?" And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even, how do you say, he added more dramatic impact to the whole situation. "Gopinath Patanayaka is in charge of collecting money on behalf of the government. But he has no fear for the king, and he spent it all on dancing girls." Devotees, you know how they make things more intense. Well, Mahaprabhu is the supreme bhakta, so he made things supremely intense. He spent it all on dancing girls. If he's intelligent, he should be performing his service to the government. And after paying the government, then he can use whatever money is left over for what he likes. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya just, "What are you bothering me about this? This is life in the material world." Gopinath is getting his due reactions. Misappropriating government money, spending it on dancing girls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really knew how to frame the situation, Because the people had come running to inform Lord Chaitanya that Gopinath Patanayaka is on the changa, he's about to die, he owes the government money. And Lord Chaitanya just replied, "Why should he owe the government money? And furthermore, he spent that money on dancing girls." So the scene's getting really intense here. But Lord Chaitanya is showing indifference. These are material affairs. This is the way of the material world. You misappropriate money, you get caught by the government. Why am I being dragged into this? The people were thinking, "He's your dear devotee. His whole family is so dear to you. You must save him. It's quite fitting and proper that you save him." But Lord Chaitanya's attitude is, So then another person comes running to Lord Chaitanya, and he brought more news. Vaninath Roy, the brother of Gopinath Padmanabha and his entire family have been arrested. The king's son is really putting on the pressure. So, Lord Chaitanya, you would expect when he heard that, oh no, this is getting too much. No, what was his response? The king must get his money somehow or other. I'm a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order. What can I do? This is life in the jagat, life in the material world. Even Srup Damodar and all the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya, they fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and they submitted this plea. They said, all the members of Ramananda Roy's family are your eternal servants. Now they are in danger. It is not befitting for you to be indifferent to them in this way. That's a very important word, indifference. Actually, according to the Gaura Ganadas Deepika, the five sons of Bhavananda Roy are the Pandavas. And Bhavananda Roy is Pandu. So, this is how dear they are to Lord Chaitanya. And of course, in their presence as the Pandavas, they're dear to Krishna. So, even Srup Damodar, who would judge the presentations of anyone who came to glorify Lord Chaitanya, even he's falling at Lord Chaitanya's feet, saying, don't be indifferent to them. Don't be indifferent to this situation. It is not right. Now what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He became angry. So, you want to order me to go to the king? Your opinion is that I should go to the king's palace and spread my begging cloth in front of him? Is that what you want me to do? Then Mahaprabhu conceded. It's true that a sannyasi may beg for tiny things. In other words, a little morsel to eat, even a tiny bit of money. But for a sannyasi to go begging for this huge sum of money that Gopinath Padmanabha owes the king, no, that's out of the question. Still, things are going on. Another person comes running up. Now Gopinath has been put in position on the changa to be plunged onto the swords. Things are just increasing in danger and intensity here. Again, all the devotees appeal to Lord Chaitanya. And again, Lord Chaitanya replies, I'm a beggar. It is impossible for me to do anything about this. But if you all want to save him, then all together go pray at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. If you all want to save him, you see how Lord Chaitanya is detaching himself. Just go pray to Lord Jagannath. Why are you coming to me? Go to Lord Jagannath. Of course. What is the difference? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the mood of a renounced sannyasi. Don't drag me into worldly affairs, debts, people owing money and being punished. As far as I can see, Gopinath Padmanabha is getting his just due, and the king is doing what's necessary to get his money. But if you all feel that way, go pray to Lord Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He possesses all potencies. Therefore, he's able to act freely and can do and undo whatever he likes. Meanwhile, after Lord Chaitanya replied in this way, an officer of the government named Harichanda Patra went to see the king and had a bit of a talk with the king. He says, let's consider this situation. Gopinath Padmanabha is your faithful servant. It's not good to condemn to death a servant. That's not good behavior. He simply owes some money to the government. But if he's killed, how does the government get the money? The government will be the loser. Therefore, better to take his horses for a proper price and let him gradually repay the debt. Why kill him unnecessarily? What was the king's response? He was surprised. I did not know anything about this. Why should his life be taken? I just want him that he pays his debt. Please go there immediately, he told Harichandra Patra. Go there and adjust the situation. I just want the money, not his life. You see, that. Remember, the prince, the son of the king, had really gone to the extreme. Yeah, I'm going to kill him now. But his father, the king, just wanted a little pressure applied so the debt would be paid. But his son, the prince, is ready to take Gopinath Patanayaka's life. This is the way of life in this world. That is one reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing indifference. What do you expect out of the material world? What do you expect out of material affairs of dollars and cents? Debts and not paying debts and selling horses and not selling horses. I'm a sannyasi. Why are you dragging me into this? Oh, you say he's my dear devotee and his whole family is dear to me? Well then, go pray to Lord Jagannatha. He'll know what to do. As far as me, you're going to hear more about that. When we continue this pastime tomorrow, you're going to hear how Lord Chaitanya takes an even firmer and stronger stand. He's not going to get involved. So, we're at the point now where Harichandan has told the prince, the king doesn't want Gopinath Patanayaka dead. So the prince dutifully took Gopinath Patanayaka down from the Changa. And then Gopinath Patanayaka told that I'll pay the money, just give me a proper price for the horses, I'll gradually pay the debt. So that happened. And Gopinath Patanayaka was released. Then, remember, Vaninath Roy, another son of Bhavananda Roy, the brother of Gopinath Patanayaka, he was arrested also with his whole family. So Lord Chaitanya asked, what was Vaninath Roy doing when he was arrested? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, and the messenger said, what was he doing? He was fearlessly, incessantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. The messenger said, he was chanting on the fingers of both hands. And after he finished chanting 1,000 times, he would make a mark on his body. So, when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was very pleased. But that doesn't mean Lord Chaitanya is finished showing his pranayarusha, his anger of affection, and his determination, I'm not getting involved. Kashi Mishra comes to see Lord Chaitanya. Remember, Lord Chaitanya, he's staying with Kashi Mishra, so he comes to see the Lord, and the Lord Chaitanya is speaking with that he's disturbed. I cannot stay here any longer. I shall go to Alalana. There are too many disturbances here, and I can't get any rest. All the family members of Bhavananda Roy are engaged in government service, and they're misspending the money. And then when the king tries to get his money back, and tries to punish Bhavananda Roy's family members, people come running to me to save them. First, the king put Gopinath Patanayaka on the Changa. Messengers came 4 times to tell me, I'm a beggar sannyasi. I'm a mendicant. I want to live alone in a solitary place. But these people are coming to me to tell me about their unhappiness, and they disturb me. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is beyond material happiness and unhappiness. He doesn't want to hear about it. He's in Puri to feel separation from Krishna. And the devotees around him, they add to his feelings of separation. But now, people are coming to him with tales of material duality. Happiness and distress, gain, loss, richness, poverty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I don't want to hear this. I'm a sannyasi. People are telling me these things. They're disturbing me. Then Lord Chaitanya explained, it was Jagannath who saved Gopinath Patanayaka. But he saved him this time. What happens if tomorrow he Gopinath has the same problem, misspending the money. Who is going to save him then? Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very necessary point. If a devotee does a sinful activity accidentally, Krishna will protect that sincere devotee. But if the devotee keeps on performing sinful activities, hoping that Krishna will protect him, that is the greatest offense. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warning all foolish devotees that Jagannath will not protect us if we continue to commit offenses. You see, in order for real love to develop, there has to be sensitivity. Sensitivity means no offenses. You're on guard. I don't want to make any offenses. That's the nature of a personal relationship. So if you continue to commit offenses, where is your chance to develop love of Krishna? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing this out. It was Jagannath who saved Gopinath Patanayaka today. But what will happen tomorrow when he does the same mistake again? And then Lord Chaitanya said, if I continue to hear about the activities of materialistic persons, my mind becomes agitated. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be disturbed in that way. So we'll continue from this point tomorrow, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite adamant, I want to leave here. I had nothing to do with this situation with Gopinath Patanayaka. I didn't cause it, and I didn't save it. It was Jagannath who saved him. But what will happen tomorrow when Gopinath goes on in the same way? I want to leave. This is all disturbing me. It's a very deep and mysterious pastime. And tomorrow, when we finish it, you're going to hear Kaviraj Goswami, his conclusion, that very difficult to understand this week. And you'll hear him explain why. All right, any questions for today? Yes. Can we consider Gopinath Patanayaka an innocent bhakta as he was spending all the money inappropriately? Come tomorrow. This is why I wanted to do this pastime, because it seems to be so easy to understand. Yeah, what's the big deal, you know? A devotee got in a bit of financial trouble, then there was governmental trouble, and then people ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he didn't want to be involved, but then he said go to Jagannath, and Jagannath saved him. Yeah, these things happen all the time in ISKCON, you know, Krishna's mercy. wait till you get to the end. Yes.
So behind this little process, there's some hidden treasure. But in the normal life, sometimes the world is also very, transcendent. You can't discover this meaning. I don't want to be disturbed in my chanting and things like this. So is it really appropriate to make up for, any commitment? No,
you'll have to come tomorrow. Because there are more aspects to this lila than what you're seeing right now. And Lord Chaitanya is doing several things at one time. All right? Yes.
You have mentioned about that expect to know the language of the different. So how to understand this?
How to understand ecstatic love?
Yeah, how to understand these things? Like we raised this question in the lecture.
You can only understand through a service attitude. Hearing with a service attitude. That'll be, okay, I'll give you a hint. That's explained at the end by Kaviraj Goswami. He's going to say at the end, it's impossible to understand this lila. And your only hope is a service attitude to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, as you can't understand. But I haven't even explained to you all the intricacies yet of the lila. You all are asking questions like, the lila is already finished. It's only begun. And already you're scratching your head. It's only begun. All right. Thank you very much. Let it go.